You're listening to Justice, Inclusion, and Dignity in a Free Congo on WPFW Washington.
Welcome to WPFW Washington at 89.3 FM at WPFWFM.org. This hour is brought to you by the Pacifica radio station that comes out of Washington, D.C., whose theme is Jazz and Justice, who's been sustained by listeners for over 48 years. People like yourselves decide to give us social connectivity and financial support, and for that we're grateful. For listeners who have just joined us, WPFW is in a pledge drive. It's fall pledge drive. I'm your host, David Whetstone. The hour is We the People. Our charge, our duty, is to exceed $600 to raise funds. You can play your part, especially if you have the means, by calling 1-800-222-9739. Again, that's 1-800-222-9739. Well, it's Congo Week, a week that has a intense focus on the Democratic Republic of the Congo from October 19th when it started to October 25th. And particularly at the station is Congo Day. Our program is going to look at the current situation in the Congo and an overview. The ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo has tremendous global impact. It indeed affects all of us and this world. This program is part of Congo Week programming, and it's called Justice, Inclusion, and Dignity in a Free Congo, and is being brought to you by WPFW and Friends of the Congo. Before we go on further, I'd just like to let you know that in this hour, I will have the aid and assistance of producer and host Muiza Mutali. He is a dear friend and colleague, a longtime programmer at the station, and he brings you the program Africa Now, which is broadcast 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. Muiza, I always say about African-descended people, not only on the continent, but throughout the diaspora, throughout the world, covering such things as history, environment, politics, and culture. So thank you for being with us. We're going to open up the show with our guests, Akilimali Sali Choma Choma. Mr. Choma Choma is an independent journalist, and for more than a decade, he has reported from the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Central Africa. His stories cover issues such as business, environment, especially including climate change, health, justice, politics, and it includes him being the reporter that brings breaking news. Mr. Choma Choma's career started out in radio before migrating to the international online press. His work focuses on how local communities are part of the solution to problems they face, something we believe here at WPFW, by the way. His articles are written both in French and in English. He's a regular contributor to Peace News Network and BBC English language programs, including the BBC World Service, for the latest news about the region. His aim is to cover the news in a conflict zone with complete independence. Mr. Choma Choma, if you please, you can release your mic and be fully connected with us. And I'd like to greet you. I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you so much.
For here, it's morning, but for you, I assume it's much later. And
you say?
No, I'm just saying. Hello again.
Hello. Peace there. Happy to be here this morning.
All right, and thank you. And I'm grateful. Thus far, our internet connection is good without delay. Thank you. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, it covers 250 ethnic groups. It has four major languages. The Congo Empire reigned from a period of African enslavement to the colonization era. The dreaded King Leopold I of Belgium was given the Congo as a result of the 1884-1885 Berlin Conference, and he ruled the country as his own personal property for 23 years. He was actually forced to relinquish that indulgence in about 1908, following international objections. I just wanted to give people a sense of the country. It's bordered by 9 states. The Congo is indeed referred to as the Straddles the Equator as the heart of Africa in many regards. And it has a population of 110 million people, and half of whom are probably under the age of 18. And it's in a geography that's equivalent to the size of Western Europe. So I hope I've done rightly. I just wanted to give our listeners a sense of the Congo. Again, glad to have you. When I interview people in areas of conflict, I want to especially ask, how are you doing? Are you safe? And how are others around you doing?
I think about being safe, I think it's a difficult question. And I don't know how to answer it, but I can say that until now, I'm still alive, and I'm still doing journalism, so I'm safe. I can say I'm safe right now.
And give the listeners an immediate understanding of your situation and the situation of the country, if you please.
About the situation, my situation and the situation in Congo right now, is that my situation is a journalist which is trying to working as he can to solve issue, to get more information about what is going on, and to try to tell the world as much as he can to tell the story from Congo, to tell the stories from Congo, to tell point of view of local people, local actors, and local communities, to tell also the suffer of the population and the resilience of some people which are suffering for decades right now with the war which killed millions of people in DRC. Generally, this is the situation, and but the situation globally in Congo, as you know, the town of Goma and Bukavu is still under control, and a big part of the provinces of North Kivu and South Kivu are still under control of the M23 with the support of the Rwanda army right now, and they are still in that area. You have to know that again that in other areas there is so many challenges, including Ebola in Kasai right now, which is involving in that area, and on political area, it's the difficult to organize a dialogue between the government and some member of the opposition, including guys like Martin Fayulu and other person and other personality of the opposition, which are now in need of discussion, but they didn't get the opportunity to really discuss with the government and to try to solve this problem. And at the latest point is this issue of discussion, which is between Congo, Rwanda, and US, which is focused on mineral, and they're saying in Congo they are saying mineral for peace. They are saying it's mineral for peace. And other people are saying that it's production. And also is another discussion which is leading by the U.S. government too, with his partner, which is Qatar, and which is in Doha. It's a discussion between the government of Kinshasa and the M23. We are still following up what is going on, and we hope that things will be better soon, but we're still analyzing and we are still covering.
Wow, what an overview. So I'll try to break out a few points here. First of all, I want to acknowledge that we here in the United States barely hear about the Democratic Republic of the Congo. If it wasn't for organizations like Friends of the Congo, we would not get the news that we need to about it. We're talking about militia forces, particularly a militia known as M23, and the presence of Rwandan special forces surrounding the major city Goma, I believe it's in the northeastern province of Kivu. How big is Goma? And can you explain the Rwandan incursion into your country?
About the Rwanda incursion, sorry, the network was not good, so I guess only the latest question. I didn't get the context, but about the Rwanda incursion in my country, you have to know that there is so many reports, including the report of the Department of State of the U.S. and so many reports of the United Nations and other actors like Amnesty International and other major actors, which are saying right now that the government of Rwanda with its army, it's involving in the conflict, and it's supporting with thousands and thousands of soldiers in they are supporting them 23 with thousands and thousands of soldiers, and they are also support with materials and with strategy and with a kind of way to get weapon and the material to come from Rwanda and to reach DRC and to keep fighting against the Congolese administration and government until now. This is what I can say, and so many actors, including so many researchers, it's a fact that all this involving in Congo, it's about mineral, strategic minerals. The first one is a coltan, which is using to connect our mobile phone and our computer, because right now we are connecting because we have some Congo in our computer, in my computer and in yours, and in the telephone or the computer of people which are listening us.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just hoping you would go on. But you mentioned coltan, which is an important element. And you also mentioned earlier cobalt. And again, no smartphones, no electronics. For Western powers, no aerospace or military equipment. For many people around the world, no automobiles as well. But the minerals that are in the Congo number well over 1,000. There are 1,100 different minerals that have great value, including uranium. I understand that the uranium that was used in the atomic bombs of that my country used probably had some origins from the Congo. I wanted to, again, switch back the focus to Goma. I understand that the city has a population of 2 million, but given the internal displacement of persons throughout the country, you have an additional 3 million people that are, again, isolated and to some degree held hostage by militias and foreign forces. How is it that up to 5 million people can manage to survive in a place like Goma?
So about this, I think the first thing is that those 3 million of people right now are returning and are in other area, because after the M23 taking the town of Goma, they put out all IDPs camp which were installed in Goma and neighborhood. People flying again and went to other towns. So now, right now, the town of Goma can have around 2.5 million, because as there are some people which were not as obliged to live, and right now they are living in some street. And there are others which are in support with some families and are staying in others' place. But until now, the situation and the life in Goma, it's really, really, really difficult, because you have to know that banks are not working in that area. And local entrepreneurs, they are shops, they are offices, and they are poor, I can say, were looted by people on when the M23 took the town of Goma. And so right now, economically, the town is down, and people are looking for other opportunities, and people are looking for other way to get more money to try to survive. So many NGOs which are, because it's NGOs which are employing so many people in Goma, for example, so many NGOs closed. So people are really suffering. When you have banks, you have bank, you have NGOs, you have the public services, which also are recruiting so many people. It's very, very difficult and very tough for people to survive in Goma, because there is no opportunities of job and opportunities to get money and to respond as much as they can to need of the population and to need of their families. And right now there is so many problems, including also access on security, on health things, because there are so many NGOs which closed their services and which help a lot the local population with medicine, with the experience, and with surgical things. And this is make the town to be more and more difficult to live. We have also the issue of insecurity, because until now, the security is not good in the town, and also the M23 is continuing to track people which are against their ideology and which are saying that such rebellion is supporting by Rwanda.
Well, allow me to reintroduce you. Listeners, you're listening to WPFW right here at 89.3 FM, WPFWFM.org. The programming, the hour, is We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone. More importantly, we're focusing on the current situation in the Congo. We're trying to give an overview that is being done courtesy through our technology of internet connection with Akili Mali Sali Choma Choma. Mr. Choma Choma is an independent journalist. He's been doing his reporting, his journalism practice with reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo and Central Africa for more than a decade. He covers business, environment, including climate change, health, justice, politics, and he's a provider of breaking news for the BBC and for the Peace News Network. It's a pleasure to have him here this morning. But in order to enable programming such as this, we need your support. We are in a pledge drive for the fall. We need you to call 1-800-222-9739. And I invite my colleague, host of Africa Now, Moisa Mutale, to join us with further instructions, further encouragement. We need to pay attention to the many things that we need to survive in our communities and around the world. Moisa, will you be so kind to join me and tell listeners how they can support this program and others?
That's right, David. I mean, the reason why we're hearing Akili Mali Choma Choma is because of your support. You have been able to support WPFW for the last 48 years since 1977, making sure that we amplify voices on the ground. I hate to use the people say voice of the voiceless. No, people have voice, but we amplify that voice. And we're able to do this. And today, for instance, we're doing the whole day programming on Congo. And that's because of your support throughout the years. Our goal for this hour, this is during our fall pledge drive, is $600. And I know you listen to David every Wednesdays, as I do, at 11 a.m., on We the People. And but you should do that by calling 800-222-9739. That's 800-222-9739. Or you can go on your website at WPFWFM.org and go to the Donate Now button, put down the We the People, and make your donation there for We the People and WPFW. You can also go on the Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM, and make sure you write in the memo that is for We the People. And also you can text on the phone at 801-801 and follow the instructions there. So there are many ways you can support the show, and all donations are welcome. There's nothing too small, nothing too big.
Thank you, Moisa. You're very thorough. Again, that number is 1-800-222-9739. We, again, must greatly exceed the $600 goal to put this station in good stead so we can bring you programming. It is almost an obvious thing to say. What other media source would dedicate on an ongoing basis, attention to the Congo? What other media source would dedicate a whole day of programming, bringing you the full embrace and analysis regarding the good people, over 110 million people in the Congo, who are citizens of this planet, who provide so much and have been abused and exploited and taken by so much? Only at WPFW can you do this. I want to be mindful of something. Many of our friends and colleagues are affected by the chaos that's going on here particularly the furlough and the very, very stubborn shutdown that's going on. And so we do not ask lightly for your financial support. We know people are of different means. One way to give your support is to become a sustaining member, giving a steady amount of your determination, the amount you want to give monthly. And you can start and stop it at will. But importantly, that gives WPFW a steady stream. $600, maybe six people at $100, maybe a dozen people at $50. But the goal is of necessity. We pay bills, we pay our staff. And again, I urge you to call 1-800-222-9739. Back to Kimali Choma Choma. You gave us an important overview. There's certainly a lot to cover. I want to just clearly ask you, so no additional humanitarian aid is making its way into the country, whether it's the city of Goma or elsewhere. Just tell us about the flow of positive outside intervention, if you will.
The positive intervention right now, the first one is with so many organizations which are organizing communities. There are some NGOs and also some community organizations and some fundraisers which are funding the return of displaced people, because the M23 give the order to those people to come back in their villages in 3 days. And when they fly their villages, they have no house, they have no anything. And the need for the people is to be reinstalled in their villages or in other area where they feel some small security. And there are some organizations which are working on it and are helping a number, but the problem is the number, it's too small, but it's a good path, and it's a good way for people to help those person who are returning in their villages by give them some kit, like to give them a place to live before before they leaving, and to give them some food before they cultivate their chunks themselves and try to get the food. This is one of the greatest integration done by organization and others. Also, there are also some actors which are trying to help a lot with trying to make discussion between the government and other actors, between the government of Congo, the government of Rwanda, between the M23, AFC, and other actors, to try to make a same point of view and to try to solve the situation. And also, another thing, and a great thing right now, is that officially, I'm saying officially, because we don't know unofficially what is that. So many countries are saying that the united and the integrity of the democratic of the Congo should be respected. And this is something really positive, and we hope that things will go in that area, and the country will not be divided, and to give a part of this country to Rwanda.
You've opened up a lot of concerns. One, you're saying people who have been internally displaced throughout a country, again, pardon me, folks, again, the geography is the size of Western Europe. So when people are encouraged to return to their villages, here's what they've endured. I mean, the armed conflict, a great majority of women have been assaulted and raped. You've got health concerns as far as people dealing with the Ebola virus and otherwise. And yet the government and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are of limited means. So my question is, give people a sense of how effective or how plausible. I mean, you described the initial steps, but is it really realistic for people to return to their villages throughout this tremendous country?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't understand it well.
Yes. I was just asking if you could just talk to us about more of the actualities of people returning to their villages throughout the country, since it's so large and the scale of whatever they have available to them is so small. And I acknowledged all the trouble of the conflict, particularly the threat and danger to women and children, for that matter.
People right now, it's difficult to know. Really difficult, and very difficult to know what is really going on on that area, because the M23 is not give access to journalists and to independent researcher and activists to get access to the area under their control. And this is something very complex. But information we get from there is that the rapes still continue in area, including Gaza control, under control of the M23 and under control of Wazalendo too. And this is something which is complicating again the situation and making the population to be in danger and to be more in difficulty. And another thing is this issue of health, because you know, so many women has the opportunity with NGOs to get some surgery, and right now, as so many NGOs went out of Goma and North Kivu and South Kivu, all the occupied territory of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, right now it's difficult for those people which has low budget and low money to get access to those resources, including to get access to the health to the health services, and this is very, very important.
The reason I asked about outside intervention in the Kara people, I wanted to repeat a few things. The conflict that we're dealing with today, and correct me if I'm wrong, is considered an extension of the conflicts that have been going on since the 1990s. And the death toll has been over 6 million. Again, half of that death toll are children, particularly young children and infants. The interventions and the speeches that are made in geopolitics don't often translate with any reality on the ground. So you mentioned how people are, through mutual aid, through their own humanitarian sense of things, are helping each other. But maybe this is a good point to ask, what role has the United States played? What role has European nations played, being the former sources of colonization, admittedly? And what role has other countries on the continent played in helping out the Congo?
I will begin by the Africa, because it is important. There are some countries like Angola, for example, like Tanzania, which were helped a lot, the Congolese people, and which sent the knowledge and the opportunities. We have Angola, which helped a lot in discussion and try to put it on the same table the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, and the president of DRC, Felix Tshisekedi, they tried also to put at the same table the government of Kinshasa and the Rwanda insurrection of the M23 right now, and they failed, but they tried. We have also some countries like South Africa, Malawi, and Tanzania, which sent soldiers and fight for years, for a couple of months in the east of DRC before leaving. We have also some countries like the East African Community, which is really doing a kind of hypocrisy. I mean, they are saying that we have to protect each other against each other, but they know that Rwanda is attacking Congo and they are not saying nothing. And it seems like they are quiet.
Can I be frank? It seems like the U.S. supports Rwanda quite a bit throughout various administrations.
Yes, it's where I want to arrive at the end. You have also a Western country leading by the U.S., which are supporting, are still supporting Rwanda in what they are doing. The European Union, country like France, like Germany. You have countries like UK, but the most and the important country which is really supporting Rwanda and what Rwanda is doing here in Congo, it's the US, because the US trained so many soldiers which are now killing people and are now raping women here in Congo. They have a partnership in that way. They have so many partnerships. The U.S. is financing also a part of the public budget, of the government budget, of the state budget of Rwanda, until even if its department of state say that the M23 is supporting military and logistically by Rwanda, and they call Rwanda to withdraw its troops in DRC, but they are still supporting that kind of group and that kind of person. This is something which is really telling the role which the US is playing personally and particularly and Western country in general. You have also another way, which is China, which is playing between all those actors and trying to get more mineral they can, and to get that CM23 and other rebellion will not reach the area under their control. This is something very, very important which is happening here.
You know, in the last administration under President Biden, I thought I heard a news report saying that a railroad to transport minerals and other resources was completed in the country. This is pretty much a detailed, arcane question, but given all the conflict and what was going on, how is that even possible?
You say sorry?
I was asking about, and let me make a remark to listeners. We're obviously crossing oceans here with our internet connections. There's a little bit of a delay. Can you bear with us and not be discouraged, but listen attentively to the current situation in the Congo with our guest, Akilimali Chomachoma, independent journalist. Mr. Chomachoma, I was asking about, in the previous administration under President Biden, I heard there was completion of a railroad that was to facilitate the transportation of minerals and resources. And I was just simply asking, how is that possible?
So, I mean, right now, the U.S. is in need of mineral and other essential resources, which are right now in Congo. And generally, they are building a kind of way, and they call it Lobito Corridor. And that Lobito Corridor, where supposed to give, because so many resources are coming from Congo and are crossing the border of Zambia for some, and Rwanda for others, and they are going to Tanzania or Kenya, and went to China, to India, and to other countries. So the U.S. and the Western countries globally are looking for ways to make sure that it's coming to Atlantic Ocean. So right now they are building that Lobito corridor, which will cross Congo from Lualaba, which is the capital city of copper and cobalt in the world, which is the main place where you get that kind of resources, and it will cross DRC and cross to Zambia with some road, but most of them it's a railway where they are building it, and it will finish to the town of Lobito in Angola, which is which will be transported to US, to France, and others' country. This project, to tell you how it is important, this project, this project, for the first term, mobilized $1 billion. But Biden, before leaving, he promises again $6 billion. Of U.S. dollars in that project, because that project is very important for U.S. and the other country, as Western country, to get those resources.
Well, we'll complete that thought, but I will just draw on some facts at hand as we're going into the break. The Congo possesses 64% of the world's reserves, again, for coltan. That's a mineral that's found in cell phones and other electronic devices. It's the largest producer of cobalt. That's important for automobiles and electronic products, particularly batteries. And it's the largest producer of copper in Africa. So obviously those are the material motivations to what our guest, Akili Mali Chomachoma, independent journalist, coming to us from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, has been reporting to us. You're listening to We the People. I'm part of a team of 100 plus programmers that bring you programming here at your Jazz and Justice radio station, WPFW 89.3 FM. We can only do that with your financial support. There's a simple duty for me to raise $600 within this hour. We're well past the halfway point in the hour. $600 can be exceeded if many of us out there choose to financially support the station. The number is 1-800-222-9739. The need is dire. We need to amplify each other's voices and efforts to build a better world, one broadcast at a time. Moisa Mutali, please join me, host of Africa Now, and listeners how they can further support this and other programs.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. And as we're listening to Akili Mali Chomachoma, who actually has been on Africa Now as well, he's only here because you have supported that this station, as in the African proverb, is your child. And the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. And appropriately, this station has been raised by the community for 48 years, making sure for over 48 years. In February, actually 49 years. And it's because of the community ensuring that we get some support. And we know these are trying times. So we come to you with the understanding that we may not be able to do as much as before, but we know that you always have PFW in your heart, and you demonstrate that throughout. And you can do that by going to our website, which is wpfwfm.org. Go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to We the People, and make your pledge there. Or you can also do the Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. The Cash App is the $WPFWFM. At the present time, the phones are not working adequately, so we'll not give up that number right now. It is the website. Right. Yeah. So, and also text. You can text 801-801. So to support the show, as we said, if we can get like six people, $100, sustain a membership, that'd be great. Or 12 people of $50 each, sustain a membership, that'd be great too. Especially the more the merrier people that support the station. We need new members. If we can hopefully challenge all of the folks in the DMV, people from the DC cities, metropolitan area, but also people in the Maryland, people in Virginia, and to support David Weston and We the People. Again, go to the website wpfwfm.org, go to the Donate Now button. And
it's a bright red button in the upper left corner. You can't miss it.
Yep. And to support all the great work that's been going on at WPFW through the last over 48 years, and that ensures that we have guests like Akili Male Choma Choma directly from the source, from the ground. You don't get that from any other source in the media for 1 hour to really dissect the situation in the Congo.
Mwiza, I want to repeat your instructions again. People can text WPFWFM to the text number 801-801, and you will get a response with instructions. Those who use Cash App, if they use Cash App, it's $WPFWFM. And when you support a particular show, you usually just scroll down and pick the name of the show. But the important thing is you're supporting the station overall. And times are hard. We're trying to make your support go very, very far. It's no accident that we have this programming, justice, inclusion, and dignity in a free Congo. We join with you in not neglecting each other, no matter where we are at, what community we're in. I urge you again, out of the sincerity of my heart, to support this and other programming, because you will not receive it elsewhere. We want to let people, even across the Atlantic, know that we care about them, that we're attached to them. Some of us have reasons of identity. Some of us have reasons of humanity. But most importantly, it is the decent and right thing to do. We are not asking for your support lightly. This is a serious matter among the many things our world and what each other face. You know, yes.
Oh, no, sorry, maybe David, sorry, maybe the best way, the best word is we be in solidarity with WPFW.
Yes.
It's not so much a handout. It's a
handout.
Yeah.
We're supporting each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so it remains that we need to raise $600. I'm going to say something I rarely say. There's a listener out there who can not let us down. Please do it. The time is now. We're talking about what women, men, and children face in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There's going to be a focus on history. Patrice Lumumba, a heroic figure in the history of world liberation. He was elected the first prime minister in free elections, post-colonialism. The Western powers, along with Belgium, did not allow him to even govern for more than 7 months before he was assassinated. Subsequently, we know that history chain relates and has an impact on us all, whether it's in our own community, in our own country, or throughout the world. Please make your donation in this hour. It would be greatly appreciated, and I thank you. WPFWFM.org is one way to do it. Back to you, Mr. Choma Choma. Thank you for being with us. Can I ask again for you to reiterate, why is there a stubborn negative status quo given this conflict? A conflict that has really taken the lives of over 10 million people, almost 10% of your country's population. What is it on the world stage that's keeping this situation locked in place? And you're on.
I can say for that question, the context is that the Congolese government is trying as much as it can to solve the problem and to solve the issue, but it not seems like there is all ability put inside also internally. I mean, some of political leader are corrupted and are using the small money they get to their private affairs. You have also the richness, the material, it means the mineral of Congo is making Congo to be to all the world to watch the Congo and to try to keep more resources from Congo. This is the second way, and the last one is about minerals. The theory of cow. It means so many people are thinking that for the Congo being in cow, it's something very great and which will help them to get more resources.
I just want to realize the time that you've spent with us, and we have less than a minute to 2 minutes to go. I'm going to deliberately ask as a courtesy, is there anything in this hour of conversation that you would like to mention that I've neglected that you want people to know? I want you to be able to take this opportunity to take a minute or so and mention anything that you think should be concerned to listeners.
Thank you so much. It's great for media like PFW Radio to give this opportunity to voice on the ground and to give this point of view. The only thing I can say is for people to try to inform themselves more as they can and to try to have more information about what is going on in DRC and to try to take action, by pushing their political authorities to take action, because they can change something here on the ground. They can stop raping of women. They can stop killing of children, and they can stop million and million of people which died and others which are always in the situation of displacement. This is what I can say, and they can also support some credible program which are really helping the Congolese people. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's not anticlimactic, but I want you to know that due to Friends of the Congo and Congo Week, I've seen students as far as Japan, throughout South America, join in this effort, and I hope our listeners do that too. We have exciting programming coming up. Normally it would be blues, but in this case, at 12 noon, DJ Abby has a musical cultural mix for the Congo. At 1 o'clock, my host friend, Muiza Mutali of Africa Now, is going to talk about sports washing and how it affects the Congo with his guests. At 2, Zen El Amin will talk about the intersectionality, the connections between the Congo, Palestine, and Sudan. Willa Jenkins talks about the aspect of jazz and takes the music from the soundtrack to a coup d'etat. At 3, Tony Brower interviews Dr. Samuel Livingston of Morehouse College with about the Congo. And Katia Stitt helps us close out the evening with still plenty of programming to go, talking about women's health in the Congo, all that and more. Muliza Mutale, thank you for being with us. I understand we have a good friend in Tacoma Park to thank.
Yes.
We still have about $480 to go to raise.
Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend.
Thank you. Somebody in Tacoma Park cares. I've been notified that other people are trying to make their donations through the internet at wpfwfm.org. As we're signing off, stick with us for the whole day. It's all about the Congo today, well into the evening here at WPFW. My thanks to Mike Nasella. Again, folks, even as we're signing off, you can give, help me exceed that goal of $600. Help me do my fair share in encouraging you to support WPFW. And I thank you for listening. Take good care.
The annual Jazz Hop Sound Sessions returns to historic Anacostia on Saturday, October 25th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. along Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue and Marion Barry Avenue Southeast. Anacostia will become the stage for live music, poetry, local art, and continuous rhythm for the entire day. Presented by the Anacostia Arts and Culture District, the Jazz Hop Sound Sessions celebrates the intersection of art and the beat of D.C. Details at artthegogo.org.
The Birchmere presents Keiko Matsune, November 2nd. Naji, November 8th. The Manhattans featuring Gerald Alston, November 29th. And Take 6, December 4th. Details at birchmere.com.
The Can I Kick It outdoor summer movie series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back. And it's coming to Southeast DC for the first time ever. Enjoy 3 nights of martial arts and action films, scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two-Tone Jones. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit shaolinjazz.com. shaolinjazz.com.
WPFW has offered inspiring music, poignant stories, and critical journalism for over 48 years. Whether reminiscing while hearing Nina Simone or learning about the harm done due to gross global inequity, WPFW has been the soundtrack for moments of revelation, joy, sadness, and resistance. It's your generosity that allows us to continue this tradition of expansive, emancipatory excellence in community radio. We ask you to once again be in solidarity with WPFW during our fall pledge drive by donating at WPFWFM.org and additionally from October 12th through the 25th at 800-222-9739. There is only one WPFW and only one you, the listener, who is committed to keeping independent music and message available to the people. Your generosity sustains and challenges us to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere presents Keiko Matsune, November 2nd. Naji, November 8th. The Manhattans featuring Gerald Alston, November 29th. And Take 6, December 4th. Details at birchmere.com.
Defending Rights and Dissent, Institute for Policy Studies, and Occupy USA Today invite you to the free DC premiere screening of Occupy Wall Street, An American Dream, on Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. The film is a look at how a populist upsurge swept the nation, put oligarchs on their back foot, and revived working class politics, followed by a conversation with Dr. Margaret Flowers of the October 2011 movement, which occupied Freedom Plaza in D.C., Chip Gibbons of Defending Rights and Dissent, investigative journalist